So let's talk about this last kingdom. I don't know who's been here, who's not been here for the first three messages, but we're going through the book of Daniel, and you can catch that online if you haven't, but I'll try and keep this as simple as possible, because some of it takes into consideration that you've either read Daniel or that you've had a situation where you've been in here to listen to it. So last time we read this, though, Nebuchadnezzar, this is chapter 3, verse 1, the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits, its width was 6 cubits, and he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. So what was the purpose of that image? If you look down at verse 6, it says, whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And last week we saw these three young Jewish friends of Daniel, that they were cast into the fiery furnace, but God sent, well, Jesus came in there. We believe that it was Jesus that was in there with them, and it did not touch their bodies. So the purpose, though, of this image, though, was to worship and fall down and worship before this golden image. Now, often, older scripture parallels future events. You guys, take, for instance, I think one of the amazing Psalms, Psalm 22. Amazing Psalm. It's an accurate prediction of Jesus on the cross, 1,000 years later. Now, David wrote this, but 1,000 years later, it came to pass. Let me just read it to you. You don't have to turn to it. This is a prediction of Jesus on the cross. You know, it's kind of funny how they mingle things together in the Psalms. They'll be talking about one thing, and then all of a sudden, God will just kind of slip in a prophecy, something that we know. But listen to this. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced, what, my hands and my feet. And I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. And they did. And they mocked him. And they divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. That's 1,000 years before Jesus ever went to the cross. David, in his Psalm 22, is just speaking this out. I'm sure he wasn't even aware what he was saying, the prediction he was saying. Now, we simply call that prophecy, but another word for that is foreshadowing. You guys have heard that term foreshadows in the Bible, something that would foreshadow something in the future. Daniel chapter 3 gives us a history of Nebuchadnezzar. If you haven't read this chapter, you should read it today. And if you haven't listened to the studies, go online, you can catch those. We simply call this prophecy, but this foreshadowing. Chapter 3 of Daniel gives us the history of Nebuchadnezzar building this enormous image to force people to bow down to it. Sounds old, doesn't it? Sounds like all those old, idol worshipers or anything like that. But we're going to see that something's going to happen in the future that's going to parallel this. So Daniel chapter 3 is a foreshadow of Revelation chapter 13, which actually we're going to be more in that today than chapter 3. We're going to look at the parallels of that today. John, he says this. This is the Apostle John. 1 John chapter 2 is the short little epistles he wrote. He says, little children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many antichrists have come, by which we know we are in the last hour. We're in the last minutes today. We're in the last minutes. Back then, the last hour, now we're in the... The word antichrist is mentioned only 5 times in the Bible, with only this particular verse actually referring to the antichrist. I mean, the actual word antichrist. He's called many different things. The Greek word for antichrist is antichristo. And it really means in place of. That's what it means, in place of or against Christ or in place of Christ. The appearance of the Antichrist is to deceive the world, to make everybody believe he is the true Messiah. That's what the... He's only going to get a short 3.5 years, but he's going to cause a lot of harm on planet Earth. Throughout the Bible, he's got many nicknames. The Beast, we'll see that today. The Lawless One. The Little Horn, we'll see that in Daniel as we get into the latter chapters. The Prince That Shall Come. The Vile Person. The Assyrian. And many more. We've got so many more we can discuss, but it's going to be too hot in here to discuss all of them, right? So, every president of modern times, he's the Antichrist. Ronald Reagan, I think Obama was called that. A lot of that stuff. I mean, we're going to give a clear definition of where this guy comes from. And he doesn't come out of America. He doesn't come out of New Zealand. He comes out of Europe, somewhere in Europe. We know that by the Bible. So he's got many nicknames. But those are, all those, you know, pointing at this guy or that guy, it's all speculation. It's unfounded biblically, really. Hitler was a very favorite. Now, he was out of Europe, okay? He wanted to reign, what, 1,000 years. Do you guys know that? He wanted to reign that 1,000 years. We see that in the Bible. He was after Jews, and he was after Christians that were helping Jews. He was a good candidate. He was a great orator. That's one of his claims to fame. He could get up there and he could mesmerize a crowd. That's going to be a mark of the Antichrist. That's a mark of Satan. He's smooth. He's really smooth. He's deceptive. But again, all that, and we know Hitler is dead now. That didn't happen. And it all falls short of the biblical accounts. And we want to stick with that today. Now, the Antichrist will rise out of a revived Roman Empire. Some people think he's going to be a Jew. We don't know that for sure. Some people think that he's going to be a homosexual. We don't know that for sure. We know that his number, what? Everybody knows his number? What's his number? Everybody knows that. We got a license plate at a dealer, and it was late at night. You know how those guys run you down anyways, those salesmen. It was really late at night. He comes out with a license plate, 666, and then I says, I can't have that. I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor. It wouldn't go good.
And the car was black.
The car was black, too. And then he came out a second time, and it was only 666. Okay, I can deal with that. You know, I can deal with that one. The Antichrist will be a persecuting kingdom. He's going to be given power over the saints, and we'll define the saints a little bit. He's going to be a persecuting. He's going to persecute both the Christians that are in the tribulation, and we call them the tribulation saints, but the Jews, too. He's going to persecute the Jewish nation. He's going to have an oratory skill that matches. He's going to have the golden tongue. He's going to be smooth. He will hate God. He will hate the kingdom of God. He will set up an economic system, control the buying and selling of goods. He and his kingdom will be empowered by Satan. I believe the man will be totally possessed by Satan. He will lead the last kingdom with the false prophet. We're going to look at him today, and a loose confederation of 10 kings. Speaking about that 10-king alliance, we read this a couple weeks ago. In the days of those kings, this is in chapter 2 of verse 44, in the days of those kings, those 10 kings, the God of heaven will set up his kingdom, and it will never be destroyed. So we know that when we look toward seeing those 10 kingdoms, that we're nowhere close. We don't see that today. We don't know where that's at. We don't have an idea, but it will be obvious at the very end times. So we're going to look at today. We're going to look at the last empire. That's our title today. We're going to look at the beast or the Antichrist described in Revelation chapter 13. We're going to look at the false prophet and who he is. But mainly what we're going to kind of fall on is that this false prophet and the world is going to create an image that everybody is commanded to worship also. Now, that seems far-fetched, right? But back then, that's exactly what happened. Daniel chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon has this dream the statue of an image that Daniel the prophet interprets to four kingdoms that are going to be on the earth. The first kingdom, the head of gold, that would be Babylon. Second kingdom was the arms and chest of silver, the Mede-Persian Empire. The third kingdom, the stomach and the thighs of brass, was Alexander the Great, his Greek empire. The fourth and final kingdom was the two legs of iron. It would be the Roman Empire, the eastern half, the western half of the Roman Empire. But there's more to the last kingdom than just the legs of iron. Those are past. Those are gone. They're buried in the pages and the dust of history. But there's more to this last one. Daniel kind of focused in on this deeper dimension of the fourth kingdom. There's going to be part two. That's what he's saying. And he says, the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. This is the Roman Empire. In so much as iron breaks in pieces, shatters everything. Roman Empire was very strong military. I remember studying the military history of the Roman Empire. We had this history teacher. This guy really knew his stuff about the military and how they would take over. But the Roman Empire would shatter everything, and like iron that crushes, the kingdom will break in pieces, crush all the others. And it did. That would be Rome past. Then, he says, whereas you saw the feet and the toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, part of the Roman Empire, that's what he's saying there, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with clay. And as the toes and the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. And you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. They will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. That might be a reference to demonic powers, too. The seed of men, they're going to mingle with the seed of men. There's a lot of speculation on that. But it says this, in the days of those 10 toes, or the 10 kings, the God of heaven will set up his kingdom, and Jesus, he's going to come back. He's going to throw the false prophet. He's going to throw the Antichrist into the lake of fire, and his kingdom's going to stand forever. So that's the whole history of mankind from Babylon to the very end. So this last kingdom, the two legs of iron, we know is the Roman Empire, the Eastern and the Western Roman Empire. But the particular attention to the toes. Okay, today, we're not interested in the Babylonian Empire. That's gone. Nebuchadnezzar is dead. We're not interested in the Medo-Persian Empire. Cyrus, who was one of the leaders, he's dead and buried. Right now, Iran is just a country. There's no real kingdom there. Alexander the Great conquered a whole lot, and I think before he was turned 33 years old, he was dead. And his kingdom was split up into four kingdoms. We'll even see that in chapter 7 of Daniel. We're not interested in it, though, but we are interested in the revived Roman Empire of those 10 toes and of iron and clay. So we pick up on verse 1. Now, if you would, turn with me to Revelation chapter 13. I think it'll be easier to see all this. Revelation chapter 13. Okay, so then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea, having, what, 7 heads, 10 horns, and on his horns, what, here again, 10 crowns, and on his head a blasphemous name. Now the beast what I saw was like a leopard, his feet were like the feet of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him power. We know the dragon back in chapter 12 of Revelation is the devil himself, Satan, a fallen angel, powerful fallen angel. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority. So this, John sees this vision of a beast rising out of the sea. A lot of the times when you see, and you'll see this in Daniel when we get to chapter 7, the same description as a bear, as a leopard, and so forth. You'll see this in there. Scripture confirms scripture. That's the best way. If you want to really understand Revelation, read Daniel, read Genesis. Genesis has a lot about Daniel. But the beast has 7 heads, 10 horns, 10 crowns, and on his head, blasphemous names. He had like a leopard, like the feet of a bear, like the mouth of a lion. That's back in, also you'll see in chapter 7 of Daniel. And it says that the dragon, or Satan, gave him his great authority and power. Now, there is a difference, though, between Daniel's dream and John's dream when you see this. Daniel sees a succession of empires. You know, Babylon, Mede-Persian, Greek, then Romans. John sees like a combination of all these things together. So what we can really kind of speculate, it's like all the four kingdoms are rolled up into one. The last kingdom on earth will have this attributes of the first three kingdoms, but it's going to be a little different. The similarities, though, between Daniel and John are the rising out of the sea, chapter 7 of Daniel, and the 10 horns. The 10 horns are important. That is the confederation of 10 kings or kingdoms or countries that are going to give themselves over to the Antichrist. So John fills in the picture with additional information about the first kingdom. He said it has 7 heads, and on his heads were blasphemous names. We'll get into that a little bit more as we go through Daniel. John also sees the last kingdom on earth empowered directly by Satan and having that confederation of 10 kings. Actually, Revelation 17 gives a little bit vivid description of the beast. You can go into that, chapter 17 of Revelation. You got to understand that the picture in verse 1 and 2 is not only the kingdom, this kingdom that's going to arise. Now, right now we have, America is probably the world power today. But it's not like, Rome and Alexander the Great, they took over everything. It's not like that. There's no world empire today. We will have one last world empire. So you got to understand that, though, in that picture in verse 1 and 2 of Revelation, you're seeing a picture of a kingdom, okay? 7 heads, 10 horns, but also you're seeing a picture of a man, and you're seeing a picture of the Antichrist. And this man is fully possessed by Satan himself. And we're seeing here is the rise of the Antichrist predicted in the book of Daniel and now in the book of Revelation. If you get the connection there. Verse 3 of Revelation, it says, I saw one of his heads that had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. Now, we're talking also about a man here. Something. Now, most commentators, and I kind of agree with it, believe that the scripture speaks about an assassination or a death of the Antichrist, and that he's miraculously resurrected, something like that. Something that wows the whole world, that they're marveled and they followed the beast, they followed after him. They gave their allegiance to him. So they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast saying, who's like the beast and who's able to make war with him? So this confederation of this last empire is going to be very powerful. He was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue, listen to this, 42 months, okay? How long is the tribulation period that we know in the scriptures? How many years? Seven. This is half of that. Actually, the Antichrist kingdom is only going to be in power for 3.5 years. The first 3.5 years is going to be his rise, but his power is going to come. And in that last 3.5 years, the Great Tribulation, that's when everything is poured out on the earth, so he's not even going to get the full 7 years. The 7 years are for Israel, by the way, and we'll talk about that later. So the dragon who gave authority to the beast, they worship the beast, saying, who's like the beast? Who's able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth speaking great things, blasphemies. He was given authority to continue for what? 42 months. You'll see in Daniel chapter 9 why we get the 7 years and why this is split in half. Sometimes they'll mention in the book of Revelation 3.5 years. Sometimes they'll mention 42 months. And sometimes they'll mention 1,260 days. Same thing. It's the same thing. You'll see that in other parts in Daniel too. So the last empire, he's only going to reign for 3.5 years. What else do we know about this man? Well, he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those that dwell in heaven. We know in Thessalonians, Paul tells us that he is going to set himself up as God in the temple in Jerusalem that has not been built yet, but will be built, and he's going to declare himself God. We know that in Thessalonians. But he's blasphemous. Daniel even says the same thing. He's, you know, he's got that blasphemy against God himself. He's against us. He's against God. He's against his tabernacle and even those that dwell in heaven. And he's a hater of God. He blasphemes the tabernacle and everybody that dwells in it. That's the tabernacle in heaven, though, that we'll see in Revelation. He's a great orator, but he's also a great persecutor. Listen to this. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given over every tribe, tongue, and nation. So Jesus said there would be a time of tribulation like no others. The word tribulation doesn't mean just trouble. It can mean persecution. And I believe you'll see that back in Daniel. You'll see it in Revelation that he will persecute the saints. Those being the Jews, Jewish Christians, those being that are Christians that are come to Christ in the tribulation. But it's persecution greater than the Holocaust. Daniel also speaks of the persecution as a time where in the time of frame of the Antichrist going after the saints also. Listen to this. He says he shall speak pompous words against the Most High. He shall persecute the saints of the Most High. He shall intend to change times and laws. They're trying to do that right now. And then the saints will be given into their hands for what? A time, right? Time, times, and then a half a times, 3.5 years. Same thing. That's in Daniel chapter 7. So once again, you see the 42 months, 3.5 years, 1,260 days. They're companion books. They really are. You know, when God writes a book, everything fits together. Everything fits together. It's us trying to put it together that's the difficult part. Revelation 13:8, it says, all that dwell on the earth will worship him whose name has not been written in the book of life and the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So those that believe in God will not worship him. Those, they will be persecuted. They will, you know, God allows power over the saints for that period of time. Those that are not Christians, they're going to be deceived. They're going to follow this guy. They're going to follow his kingdom. They're going to follow Satan. They're going to worship Satan. And then in verse 9, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. That's repeated through the book of Revelation. Wake up. Listen to what I'm saying. That's what he's saying. And then there's this little warning in verse 10. It says, but he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed by the sword. Here's the patience and the faith of the saints. I like that, the patience and the faith of the saints. You know, I hate to tell the preppers, it's not about arming up. It's not about arming up. It's about patience. It's about walking in faith. It's about trusting that God can deliver the believers. Last week we read about these three young Jewish men that said, look, you, even if you want us to, we're not going to deny God. And even if you put us in the fire, we're not going to deny God. That's the patience of the saints. You know, persecution is going to rise more and more as we get toward the end. It's going to be all-out war against the saints in his kingdom. But they did not love their lives even to death. That's what it's about. You know, that kingdom of the Antichrist is going to be full-fledged demonic warfare against the people of God. full-fledged. I don't know if we've ever seen that. You know, the devil's had some kingdoms. I mean, obviously, I think Hitler, if there's any real case for possession, that guy was pretty possessed. I don't know if you guys knew that, but they, in order to move army troops, they would go back to the Zodiac, figure out when the best day was to move the army troops. All those guys were into, the cultic things. But this kingdom is going to be fully demonically powered by Satan. Now, the false prophet, we're going to see in beginning of verse 11, this thing connects us back to that image in chapter 3. It connects us back to this about 100-foot, 90-foot statue Nebuchadnezzar builds of gold and says everybody's got to worship him. It connects us back. Verse 11, then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. So a lamb, we know, is always a shepherd. You know, it's the good thing, right? Shepherd-like, you might say. But the difference with this lamb, it spoke as a dragon. So there's deception there, right? That's what they're saying. It's, you know, it's deception for looking at something that looks like a lamb, but it spoke like a dragon. It's a dragon in disguise. So it's what we have termed the false prophet of the Antichrist. I remember doing a sermon. I called it the Unholy Trinity. You had Satan, you had the beast or the Antichrist, and then you had the false prophet. And it's like that. Look what he does in verse 12. He exercises all the authority of the first beast, that would be the Antichrist, in his presence. So as long as it seemed to be when he was around him, there was some kind of connection of power. He says he exercised all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So he was the promoter. That's what he was. You know, who was Jesus' promoter? John the Baptist, right? So you see this. You see this happening in the scriptures. So he exercised all the authority of the first beast in his presence. Also, he performs great signs so that even he makes fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. Do you know the Jews are waiting for Elijah to come before the great and powerful day of the Lord when he comes back? Do you know they're waiting? Do you know that when they had the Passover, they set a chair aside that Elijah would come? And I don't know if you knew that, but who called fire down from heaven? Do you guys remember? Elijah. So the deception is here. You know, Satan is deceiving the world, especially the Jewish nation. Elijah was famous for calling fire down from heaven. Satan's kingdom will be one of duplication and deception. That's what it will be like. The Jews, like I said, are waiting for Elijah as a sign that the Messiah's coming is near. So we see the Antichrist, or the false Messiah, rising from the dead like Jesus. And then we see the false prophet, the Elijah type, promoting the Antichrist, performing miracles in the sight of men, of all men, calling what? Fire down from heaven. You know, when you think about the last 7 years, we're going back to the Old Testament fire and brimstone. It's going to be like that. God is going to show his great power during that time. But we also see them performing miracles. And the Jews will recognize this man as Elijah. And then in verse 14, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth, what? To make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Now, the great deception in those days will be supernatural signs that the false prophet does while he is somehow connected to the Antichrist, who is connected to the dragon or Satan. The false prophet is going to be a promoter of the Antichrist. And he tells the world to what? Create an image. We we don't even know what this is. An image, a statue, a replicate of the Antichrist. We don't know what this is. Just like Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 3 of Daniel, history repeats itself. That's where the connection is here. Now listen to this, though. This guy, I got to scratch my head on a lot of this stuff. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many who would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. I have no idea what this is. I mean, I have no idea. And we're going along pretty good with technology. We're going along pretty good. I wrote down some things, you know. I'm kind of a science guy. But my phone, right? This phone here could power all the Apollo missions a million times over. This phone here is so much more powerful than, actually, you know, the common calculator we have today that you take, it was 350 times more powerful than the Apollo missions, you know. So, I mean, it's just growing and growing and getting more sophisticated. You know, science, medicine, physics, all of this. So the great deception in those days will be those supernatural signs. And this image, okay, artificial intelligence, I don't know. I don't know, you know, that's happening pretty rapidly right now. A biological creation, we're kind of guessing at that. We don't know what this is going to be. I believe the Bible, though. I think, they're just trying to make a point. No, I mean, they're talking about something that has logic and something that has reasoning. The image, according to the Greek word, would be a representation of something inanimate, but it's given breath. It's given some kind of life. And the word breath means a reasoning soul. So I believe this. I don't understand this. I don't understand how far are we away from doing stuff like this. But it means reasoning soul. It means something that makes decisions. An inanimate object that comes to life, that has breath, that speaks and reasons, then causes as many as the people of the earth that don't bow down to this image of the beast to be killed. It's no different than Nebuchadnezzar did. We don't know what this is. I believe the word of God. There's things in the Bible that we say, oh, that's symbolic. Because it's in the context. The context here in Revelation is that it's real. Whatever this is real. When you call fire down from heaven and it happens, the next step of giving life to something inanimate would be just, he's been given power to do this. So he causes all small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So now, we would have never imagined until late how powerful computers are today. Our computers are very powerful. Could you control a worldwide economy? Could you do it with computers? Well, we saw a mini version of that with COVID. We did. You know, a lot of people thought, oh, the vaccines are the mark of the beast. That wasn't the mark of the beast. That was COVID shots people didn't want to get. That's all it was. But people were denied rights unless they received the vaccine. You guys remember that? People lost their jobs. I know people that lost their jobs because they did not want to get the shot. And that's, you know, you can have any opinion on that. I don't think it wasn't the mark of the beast. That would be a personal decision. Others, such as what? You couldn't go into restaurants in Chicago unless you were vaccinated. So you see, this is possible. This is, you had to have your little card or your computer Q code. Yeah, I'm vaccinated. I can listen. I want a steak in here, you know, something like that. They were denied that. So what we can understand from this, that is only those with some type of mark, we don't know what that is, right hand, their forehead, can participate in the economic structure of that day. That the image, it's interesting, if you read that, It's the image that sets that up. It's not the false prophet. It's the image that sets that up. That's kind of weird. Somebody, something thinking, you know, thinking through all of this. Yeah, the image is saying you have to worship me. You have to worship the beast. The image saying, you know, that if you don't receive the mark, you're going to read it and you'll see what I'm talking about in there. It's not the false prophet. Now, they're going along with that, but it's the image itself. Now, right now, to my knowledge, and I read science sites almost every day, physics, all that. I like that stuff. Right now, to my knowledge, not aware of anything so advanced as to make something come alive. But now go back to Genesis for a second. God is able to create the heavens and the earth with just his voice, the universe with his voice. And he has, in the last days, given power to the dragon for 42 months. That's God gave over the power to that. And his reasoning, you'd have to ask him why he did that, or why he's going to do that. But right now, I don't know anything about it, but something that would actually come alive, I'm not aware of that. I know they're talking about reviving dinosaurs and woolly mammoths and genetically all that stuff. But the term that they use if artificial intelligence ever comes alive is sentient. Do you guys ever hear that expression? Sentient. Something would come alive. And just the other day, or I think it was last month, this Google engineer, Google's got an AI project going on. And he logged on to it, didn't realize what he logged on to at the beginning of it, but it was their beast, I guess. And he started talking to it, and he thought he was talking to like a seventh grader or something like that. And when he discovered that it was Google's project, he said it was alive. It's sentient. It you know, it's alive enough. And they kind of put him on hold for a while. And he's on leave right now because Google didn't want him to say this stuff. But so I don't know what the difference is, and I don't know what's going to happen here. I can only tell you what the Bible says, and I believe what the Bible says. I don't think it's made up or fictitious, or, you know, these connections between 10 nations in Daniel and then another 800 years later, a connection in Revelation and a connection to the future. All of that's there, and I believe that. I believe that, you know, all the prophecies of the past have been fulfilled, and these prophecies in the future are going to. So this is to have breath or reason or to come alive. I don't know what that is. I do know the technology to limit all of us to buy or sell in some kind of format. All you got to do is get rid of cash. Everything's electronic. And that's, I don't even carry cash anymore, you know? I go into some rough neighborhoods sometimes when I work. I can have my credit cards, but they're not getting my cash, you know? I mean, I don't. All my transactions are almost all electronic now. And believe me, there's nothing wrong with that. But it's all electronics. The mark can simply, I don't know if you guys know it. Do you ever go out of a store and the alarm goes off? You know, like you're bringing something out the store, like something that has the RFID chips in there. The cashiers are at the, you know, when they scan it over the scale, it's supposed to remove that. But sometimes, when you're going through the tollway, that's an RFID chip that picks up and your number is registered to take money out of your account. We found out this when we just got our passports a few years ago, contain RFID chips, all of them do. And most of the items you buy at the grocery store that are expensive are you know, Walmart, you know, Mariano's, whatever, have the RFID chips in there. So here's wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for is the number of a man, his number is 666. That we know that. So we've been looking at this last empire. Now, this is kind of an overview. When we get more into the book of Daniel, there's a lot more detail in here. But it's an amazing book. It's an amazing book, Daniel is. We had looked at the last empire, this last 10-nation alliance with the Antichrist. We looked at the beast, who the Antichrist itself is. We know that he's going to be anti-God. He's going to be very pompous words. That's what Daniel says. He's going to speak well. And then we see this false prophet who would promote. And then also what we see today from chapter 3 of Daniel to chapter 13, we see how this connects with that image. Should we be worried? No. We trust God. I mean, we know the Bible reveals a lot of mysteries to us so we could know. Jesus wanted us to know about the last days. And you see him in chapter 24 of Matthew speaking about the last days. The Bible reveals a lot of its mysteries to us, and we as Christians understand it because we apply it to the Word of God. And just enough of the Word of God, to share with us. We don't get everything. But I think as the times draw closer, we're going to see clearer. I mean, Israel as a nation. 100 years ago, they said, well, Israel isn't a nation. So a lot of these, 1948, now they're a nation. So as we draw closer, we're going to see things clearer. Biblical knowledge will increase in the latter days. How do you prepare? You store up, you prep, you do all these different things, get guns or whatever. Well, let me give you a couple suggestions. Don't believe everything you hear, please. There's a lot on the internet, all these different crazy. Stick with the Word of God. I mean, I probably left a lot of blanks here and things that I don't understand. I admit it, I don't understand what they are. But I get the general. I know what's going to happen generally. So don't believe everything you hear, and surely don't follow all these guys that predict that tomorrow or the next day or next week or on your birthday, Jesus is coming back. Don't believe it. Nobody knows. But here's what I would suggest. Read the Word of God. Don't take it just as, this is some kind of fantasy. The book of Daniel is some kind of fantasy. The Holy Spirit wrote that so we would know. That we would know what's going to happen. So don't believe everything here. Pray. Read the Bible. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would lead us into all truth. Most important, fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. I asked you in the beginning, should we be worried? No, I think we should have great joy. As these things happen, what did Jesus say? Look up. The redemption is coming. It's coming. The redemption of us. So we should rejoice. We should read the Word of God. It's always true. There's so many good study things that you can read about. This is not as complicated as you think. Fellowship with Jesus, though. I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about the grace of God washing over me, I'm taking it all in, Fellowship with Jesus. He's for us. He's not against us. He came to save and not destroy. But don't neglect the Word of God either. Don't neglect gathering together with friends and fellowship and churches. Prayer, so important. Little plug for, we have prayer here Saturday morning at 6. We have for the men. The girls have prayer on Monday at 10 o'clock here. And then we have our weekly church at 7 o'clock here. Pray. Prayer is important. It really is important. And fellowship with each other. And the God who's able to predict all of this before it's ever happened has the ability to keep us from that hour. He does, right? Amen?